Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Mornings with Pastor Adam on the West Coast Bible Teacher Podcast. And you all can keep me in prayer today. If you get the chance, just please do me a favor and say a prayer for me, for I'll be starting a new ministry at my church tonight. It's going to be a Bible study for young singles, tailored towards young singles. And it's something that is certainly much needed in the community that I'm living in. Not many churches in our county have something tailored to the singles demographic. So this is something that I've been getting ready for over the past number of weeks. And tonight, we'll be having our first meeting. So please keep me in prayer. You know, that the Spirit moves and that the Lord brings out the people that He wants to, and that we are all blessed spiritually in the process. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And therefore, whenever you start a new ministry in a church setting, no matter what it is, you gotta saturate it with prayer. So please pray for me. I would greatly appreciate it. But this morning, today, I want to talk about something that was on my mind yesterday. It's funny, I came across this one page on Instagram that just had me laughing. I'll be honest, it's called Church Chat. That's the name of the Instagram page. They have almost 200,000 followers on Instagram at this point. And a lot of it is a satire on modern evangelical Protestant Christendom. It's supposed to be comedy. And I'm pretty sure that the creators of this Instagram page are Christians. Now, some people I see, some Christians who comment on their Instagram posts, don't really appreciate some of the content that they've been posting lately. Some have accused the creator of this Instagram page, Church Chad, as being sort of bitter. Or perhaps he's catering to young people who are bitter towards churchianity. Those who have been hurt by the church, perhaps. You know, they poke fun of many different... The Instagram page pokes fun of many different church cliches that are known within... I guess you could say, evangelical culture, you know. They often make fun of purity culture, for instance. Now, purity culture, I do have plenty to say on that myself. I'm, of course, all for abstinence and waiting for marriage. Absolutely. That absolutely is God's will for us. But purity culture in general, many of the strategies that church leaders have used over the years to encourage that of purity amongst the youngins haven't been actually helpful to encourage Christian youths to abstain from sexual sin. In fact, I've observed over the years that many of the things purity culture has told my generation has actually had a reverse effect, and it's caused many Christian youths to reject sexual morals altogether. But anyhow, that's ultimately a different podcast for a different day. Perhaps one day I'll talk about this topic more. But anyway, back to this Instagram page, Church Chad. They poke fun of a lot of different things within Christendom. And there was this one reel, I gotta say, that they posted that just had me laughing my head off. It's... because it is a common thing that you see in the home group or perhaps the small group setting within the church. There's always one guy or gal who means well and they have strong convictions. However, they need to understand the right time to speak up. And they also have to be careful that they don't develop a judgmental spirit. Let me go ahead and, I think I could pull it up here. Let me pull up and play for you. Obviously, you're just going to get the audio of this particular reel, funny clip here that was put out by Church Chat. And obviously, this is all satire. This is meant to be, you know, comedic. But here we go. This is, the name of this reel was, I think, that one self-righteous guy in your Bible study.
Go to the bar, get a couple drinks with the boys, just something chill, man. Because we wanted to celebrate life before his big day, you know? So it was a great weekend. No chat.
What's up?
Good over there?
No, I didn't want to interrupt anything or anything like that. I was just, like, thinking to myself, like, wow, little bro, are you not convicted?
About what?
Like, about going out to the club, drinking, listening to, like, secular rap music. Is the spirit not, like, convicting you at all about your decisions last weekend?
I mean, dude, I just had a response.
Okay, see, there you go. There you go, trying to twist words around because you want to be a part of this world so badly, don't you? No, I can see it on you. You just want to be a part of the world so badly. Dude, if the spirit of the Lord is not convicting you about your decisions last weekend, I fear for you. Like, I am truly afraid for you, dog. Like, that's unbelievable. Like, me personally, fellas, like, I would have been convicted about doing that. Like, maybe I'm the only Christian in here that's actually following his Lord, but I would have been, like, so convicted if I would have done something like that last weekend. That's, like, unbelievable, dog. Like, I'm praying for you, truthfully, but, like, you need to get right with God, kind of like I am. Because I would have been so convicted by your decisions. Like, that's just crazy that you don't feel anything. You need to go to the bar.
So there you go. And I think there might be, like, a few more seconds to that, but you kind of get the gist of it. And that one did have me chuckling when I saw it. But let me read some of the comments that people left on this particular reel. Because this one had people kind of mad on Instagram. Some people loved it and thought it was a funny reel, good satire. Other people were offended. One person wrote, "You're either on fire for him or you're a bitter cold. There's no in between. He will spit out who he sees fit." All right. I guess that person agreed with the Chad and what he was talking about in the video. Let me read another comment. "This is the guy who will overshare how he lusted over someone in the church community to show how devout his convictions for Christ-like behavior are. LOL. No filter. LOL. Another person writes, "Bro was homeschooled." Another person left a comment on this Instagram reel directed towards the actual content creator of this Instagram page. The person writes, "Your audience has to be strictly people who don't go to church because of church hurt." Another person responded to that comment. They say, "Ignoring and belittling abuse that happens in the church is an interesting way to address this. You're one of the guys that moves the pedos to another church or tells the abused wife that she has to stay with her abusive husband because divorce is a sin." All right, that's a little bit intense. That's a bit too far. You know, that person who made the comment directed towards the person who put out this reel has every right to his own opinion. So that's a little bit too far. Another person wrote a comment on the reel, and this comment goes along quite well with my personal mindset on all this and what is being presented in this particular satire, comedic Instagram reel. The person wrote, "I don't articulate it in the condescending way, but I basically agree with most Church Chad moments on this page, just not the delivery, LOL. There is plenty of scripture to back this one in particular." In other words, to back what this Church Chad character was saying in this particular reel when he was going over, you know, how you shouldn't be going to the club or to the bar and hanging out there a lot if you say you're a Christian. Now, what this person wrote in this comment, though, when he says, "I don't articulate it in the condescending way, but I basically agree with most Church Chad moments." Okay, just not in the delivery. This is my opinion when it comes to what we're dealing with in this reel. Okay, obviously this reel was made, it was put out on the Church Chad Instagram page. It was meant to be, you know, satire, a satire on what we perceive to be, you know, certain self-righteous, perhaps even toxic, judgmental people who sometimes we interact with within the church. It is good and necessary that we have convictions. We should have strong spiritual convictions about many different things. We also shouldn't put ourselves in environments that can lead us into sinful situations. We do need to be careful, because the enemy is always at work. And it is true that if you are consistently walking in darkness, without any conviction or willingness to fight against your sin, then there is a problem. I am fearful for your salvation. The book of 1 John is full of this, as is the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10:26-31. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So with that in mind, let us not pretend that it's fine and dandy to engage in serious sin, to engage in multiple sins, and live a carnal, sinful lifestyle with no interest to change. You're playing with your eternal future if that's you. And such corresponds with many of the parables, of course. The parable of the sower. The parable of the talents. The parable of the 10 virgins. And we should indeed, as believers, instruct our brothers and sisters if we see them veering off in such a direction that is no doubt serious. The author of Hebrews also says in the same chapter, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and do good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Also then, Hebrews 3:13, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." It is important that we encourage one another to not steer off the wrong path. But that's the key right there. It's encouragement. It's exhortation. It's not condemnation. Some people in church settings, they become very convicted about things once they get saved. The Holy Spirit comes in and starts doing a work. He comes in and starts sanctifying them. But Satan wants in on it too. For the first time in your life, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to come in. Before that, Satan was occupying your space. The Spirit comes in and starts to move. But Satan's still in the background peeking in, and he's thinking to himself, is there still room for me to get in here? Is there still room somewhere within this new believer's space within their life, within their heart. And sometimes the enemy leads people to develop spiritual pride. He sees that the Holy Spirit is moving into the new believer's life, and he says, you know what? I can maybe use this. I can still put my mark on this. And some people, they indeed see the Spirit moving and working in their life, and they're developing newfound convictions, which is great. But instead of it producing a heart of humility, ultimately, and love, they instead develop a heart of pride and self-righteousness. And that's a whole new sin then that they start to engage in as a result of the Spirit working in their life, ridding them of sin. Isn't that ironic? But if self-righteousness is what results from your sanctification, you're missing the point. God's coming in and doing a work in your life so that you can in turn be used by Him to minister to others and help them clean up their lives and start living for the Lord. But you see, an attitude of judgment and condemnation is usually not effective when seeking to help someone change their lives and repent, when trying to convince them that there needs to be a change. Now, you can't sugarcoat what the person's doing, but there are ways to articulate to them what they're doing in a loving way. And this is the key right here. Paul said in Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is, Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And you see, that's the key. We are to grow together and strengthen each other in love because we're all on the same team. When you approach a person because you intend to call them out for their sin, always bear in mind that the end goal should be that of the person's spiritual restoration so that they can continue to come alongside you in unity of the Spirit, so that both of you together can continue doing the work of God's kingdom along with the rest of the members of the body of Christ. This is why Paul told the church at Corinth, after they had exercised serious church discipline against one of their members, I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive, and what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive. I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. A judgmental believer, even if the person is coming from a sincere heart and sincere spiritual convictions, even if the person is technically right about the specific sins that they are calling out about their brothers and sisters within the church, even so, their judgmental spirit can create a discord, a bitter root, that causes animosity between believers and dissension. And pretty soon you have a small group that's been destroyed, or a home group that's been dismantled. Right now in my church, we're dealing with a home group where this very type of thing is happening. There's a particular person who has been very divisive. They have a very haughty spirit about them, and they're causing division and dissension in the group. And I've been summoned on to deal with it. I oversee the home groups at my church, actually. And I'm going to be having a dinner meeting next week with a couple of people to sort of try to mediate this whole situation. Be careful that you always remember that you are in need of a savior just as much as the next person. You're not as special as you think. None of us are. And this is why Jesus said, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." And Jesus also said, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Now wait a minute. Jesus here is saying that we're not to judge our brothers and sisters. And yet in many other sections of the New Testament, we do see New Testament saints making firm and at times strict judgments about the conduct of other people. Well, we have to understand the context of this passage. Jesus is warning against developing a judgmental mindset, one where your judgment is both clouded and underscored by pride and not by love. There are some judgments that should be made out of having a dear and sincere love for your brother or sister that you see in serious sin. The concept of love undergirds the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said this. But then there is the type of judging that is not supported or undergirded by love, but rather it is being guided by a spirit of pride. And that is the type of judging that Jesus is warning against here. And that is the type of judging that can hurt people and bring division. And all of us can exemplify that type of judging if we're not careful. If you're proud of the fact that you're not engaging in the sins that you once engaged in, hey, that's a good thing, right? You know, praise God. You can be proud of that. You can celebrate. But don't let it get to your head to where you think then that you're too big for your britches. Remember, yes, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But don't forget the second part of that verse in Philippians where it clarifies, "For it is God working in you. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." So that Chad guy that you see in that Instagram reel on Church Chad, what I believe that we should get out of that is not that he is wrong for seeing or noticing a possible problematic behavioral pattern in the life of one of his Christian peers. But the issue is then how he addresses it and communicates it to them. That is what we need to be mindful of. Because having a loving and compassionate heart is so important, especially in our day and age. So hopefully this can be a word of encouragement to you. And I hope all of you have a wonderful Friday tomorrow. And a wonderful weekend. And so this has been Mornings with Pastor Adam, everyone. Or Pastor Adam's Daily Talk, I don't know. Whichever one you like to, you know, refer to it as. But I will talk to all of you again on Monday morning. God bless you all.